This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 4 o'clock hour here at Spiro's in Coronado. Everybody give Spiro's a round of applause, please. Woo! Can I get some woos? All right, there we go. If you have some time before the game tonight, come down to Spiro's in Coronado, and you can come back and watch the show. We'll be here till 5:30. Also, you can sign up to win some prizes. We got some Padres tickets. We got some concert tickets, I believe, are still available. So come on down. I'm looking for Chris because he is the star of the next segment, and I can't find him. Oh, there he is in the corner. He's just in the corner talking, and oh, now he realizes that he needs to come back. But it's all good. We're going to be playing Chris vs. the Fans here in just a second. And let me read the prize while we're waiting for Chris to come over here, because that would be a nice thing for me to do right now. And the prize that we're playing for today is a qualification for our grand prize, a two-night stay at Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino, and two tickets to Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June 22nd.
My birthday.
Get ready for an unforgettable night of pure rock bliss. That's a nice word, bliss. Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra are set to blow the roof off at Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino on June 22nd, Chris's birthday. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million room renovations, home of legendary Vegas fun.
Absolutely. Well done, Mr. Scrape.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. Sorry, I missed the top of the hour.
It's okay.
Saying hello to the adoring fans out there.
Yes.
Giving away prizes out there.
Chris is doing a really good job of giving away the prizes.
We've had Karen win a pair of Padre tickets, and we just had that's terrible. Forgot his name already.
Where?
He's right over there. He just won. Oh, it's a really nice guy.
Artie, I think.
Maybe.
Okay.
It could be. I don't know. But anyway, we'll be giving away all kinds of prizes. I think by the time the day is over, just about everybody's going to walk away with a couple of things.
Yeah.
Because we have so many shirts and hats, we don't even know what to do with them all. So
we do.
Come on down. Again, if you're on your way to the ball game tonight, hop over the bridge, make a right turn, a couple of minutes off the bridge.
Spiro's, I think it's like 1201 First Street.
Coronado at the ferry landing.
Yes,
so everybody knows where the ferry landing is. You'll see Spiro's. This place, by the way, not only been crowded out here all day for our show, Scraby, but I don't know if you looked inside. Spiro's have been popping all day. I mean, people just love this place. The Mediterranean food here is so good. And
you know what April did?
April is the best. Where'd she go?
She was.
I think she went back inside. I want to acknowledge April for sure.
Me too.
But yes, you had a gyro that had been sitting there for a little while, so she went and got you a fresh gyro so that you'd have a. You can have a fresh. You can have a couple of bites. I know you're dieting these days, but
I'm going to eat this whole thing.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better.
I've gotten over the diet for the day.
All right, good. But April is the one. You know, and I mentioned it in the commercials, but April is the one that you call for the catering.
Yes,
at Spiro's.
Yes,
and she'll take care of it. She said when she's at Spiro's walking around, somebody will find out that she's April. And they'll say to her, "Oh, you're the April they always talk about on the radio."
Wow, that's awesome.
So she loves that. So but we appreciate everybody at Spiro's for having us down, and we appreciate you all being here. All right, you ready to play?
I am.
Well, let's go. Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And I got to say, Chris, today is going to be some interesting question number ones.
All right, I think I'm ready to take it on.
All right, let's get – or if you're a first-time player, let us know before you get to the first question. You'll get that question for free today if you are a first-time player.
All right, you have to bring a contestant on, right?
Yes. Let's go to Lance.
Lance.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Lance. How are you, man? Good to talk to you. Good to have you on today.
I'm a little nervous for interesting question one. That makes me nervous.
Well, the reason it's interesting is because I didn't get a chance to do it, so I'm just going to go off my phone.
Don't let him throw you. Don't let him throw you, Lance. He's a softie.
All right.
All right. Let's see. Question number one.
That hat looks great on you, by the way. She just won a hat. She looks really good in
it. Nice.
It's fitting her nice. All right, here we go.
How many runs did the Padres score yesterday?
How many runs did the Padres score yesterday? That's quite the question. Lance, what do you think?
Six.
He goes with six.
That is correct.
That is a ding and a correct answer. Yes, they won 6-4 yesterday over Los Rojos.
All right, let's go to
Cincinnati. The game was played in the Queen City.
Yeah,
do you want
to
explain?
No, we did this yesterday.
That was a disaster.
It was a disaster.
It was almost as big a disaster as the 44 biggest jerks.
Yeah,
that we
was
counted
a disaster.
Down.
Man,
that was a complete
was
disaster.
That was dark. Someone said we should do a countdown on the worst people on Earth next time.
And that's what we did, pretty much.
All right, let's go to question number two.
All right, Lance.
All right, I've been doing a couple of these, so name the team that these three players played for. You don't need to name the year, just the team that they shared.
Okay.
Kerry Collins, Albert Haynesworth, Vince Young.
Oh, boy.
Titans.
He says the Titans
is correct.
He got it. Tennessee Titans. Yeah, Kerry Collins near the end of his career was a Titan, right?
He was, yeah.
Vince Young, I think, was always a Titan. Did he go anywhere else?
I think he was an Eagle, maybe?
Yeah, he might have snuck somewhere. But that's a good one. Albert Haynesworth was a good Titan.
Albert.
Good defense.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't a good Washington player.
No, but he was an excellent Titan.
Yes, that's how he got his Washington money.
All right, Lance, good for you. Two for two. One more, and you got it.
Yep. All right, Lance, here we go. Question number three.
Question number three.
All right, another one of these player questions. It's a baseball team. The three players' names are Josh Donaldson, Josh Reddick, and Bartolo Colon. What team did they play for?
Bartolo
together?
Colon.
I just look for guys who've been on plenty of teams and then find it from there.
All right. What do you got, Lance?
I'm going to say the Athletics.
He's going to go with the Oakland A's. And
you are correct.
He got it. Let's hear it for him out there. He got all three.
That was amazing.
Lance, well done.
Stay on the line. Nick's going to get your information. Nick, you can just write it down.
Clean sweep for you today, Lance.
Wow.
You got a chance to go to Las Vegas.
That was pretty good.
Good for you.
Yeah, that was really good, actually.
Yeah, that was good.
I didn't expect
Bartolo Colon was an A, huh?
I don't even remember Josh Donaldson being an A or Josh Reddick being an A.
Josh Donaldson and Josh Reddick being an A. I did not know Bartolo Colon was an A.
He was for like one season.
Yeah. He must have snuck in there.
He did sneak in.
You know, the A's are leaving Oakland, right? That's just the saddest
thing.
They're
already updating the AAA stadium in Sacramento to make sure that they can house a Major League Baseball team. Because, you know, once they announced that they're going to go play in that AAA stadium, some players that are currently playing in Major League Baseball said, there's not enough adequate facilities there for us. We don't have a bullpen that we can warm up in. They're, like, kind of warming up, you know, down the line or something like that. And there's no shade in the bullpen area. So there's a lot of things that people are angry about. I'm angry about it.
I like Joe Musgrove and what he said about them going to Sacramento for, and it may not just be a year or two, right? I mean, they might end up being there for 4 or 5 years if by the time they ever get this thing in Las Vegas done.
Let me tell you, the people in Sacramento are
hoping
desperately that this all falls apart and the
I know
A's have nowhere to go.
They're not going to be able to stay in Sacramento for that long because it's just not a big league facility. And that's what Joe Musgrove said. He feels bad for the guys that work their entire lives to make the major leagues and then aren't going to get to take advantage of all of the comfort, you know, that comes with being a major leaguer. right? I mean, these guys. I mean, these guys have the life. You know, let's be honest. I know it's. I know there's a lot of stress and pressure playing in front of all these people. I know the travel seems to wear a lot of people out. You're away from home. You're away from your family. But by and large, not a bad life, Scrape. First of all, you make a ton of money. Second of all, you travel pretty much everywhere you go. You have, you know, you charter a flight. You get your own row on the airplane. You have meals taken care of. You get meal money on the road, which you don't even need because there's enough meals, free meals out there.
I was going to say.
You get the clubhouse amenities in every ballpark, which are, you know, range from, you know, again, food to, you know, every other service that you can imagine. You need somebody to clean, you know, one of your collared shirts. You can send a clubhouse boy out, and he'll get that done for you. I mean, it's a pretty good life. And I know Tony, you know, he's tired when he's on the show sometimes because he's traveling. But I've traveled in minor league hockey for 10 years. I've traveled in some sports where you don't have somebody carrying your bag, where you're not flying on a charter flight, where you're on a bus and you're rolling along for 7.5 hours in the middle of the night and then getting up the next morning and playing a game. So that travel is crazy.
Yeah.
What these guys do, although not a piece of cake, and isn't too shabby.
I understand what you're saying, but if you've made it to the major league level,
right,
you're an A, don't you feel like, man, this is...
Yeah.
They're still very excited to be major league players.
Sure.
But at the same
time, that's what Joe Musgrove's saying, is that if you make it and you're on the A's, you're going to be playing in a minor league facility in Sacramento for the next 5 years. And that's not cool.
And that 5 years could be the entirety of someone's career.
You know, I could tell you something about what are the A's doing right now? Their record. I know they won yesterday. We watched that game.
Yes.
Because we had nothing else to do. Yeah, I'll be all right. So we watch.
Oh no! We've lost them, everybody. We've lost them.
I don't have a cough button. We saw the A's Rockies game yesterday. It was a crazy game, but the A's, their manager's what? Mark Kotze, right?
Yes.
Still.
Yes.
Mark Kotze ought to be considered for manager of the year in the American League.
They're 21-31 right
That's
now.
That's enough for me to him to be manager of the
Only
year. Practically
6.5 games out of the American League West.
Yeah. Well, we know they're not going to win that division. But considering that the A's are putting up with the pitiful conditions of being an A and being in that organization,
I think
it's incredible
that
this guy has won any games at all, let alone be 21-31, which is, you know, reasonably good compared to what the Rockies have done.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
I mean, I think Mark Kotze has got a couple of votes.
The A's are coming off of a tough stretch, though. I'm just looking at it. They lost a bunch in a row. They lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row. That's, you know, that's expected if you're the A's.
I would expect that the A's right now would have lost 52 in a row. They've played 52 games. Surprised they won any.
You know, I was looking at the records last night, and they're not as bad as I thought they were anymore. Because the Rockies are at 16 wins, which is more than I would have given them.
Well, they had a 7-game winning streak.
Helps.
Thank you, Padres.
White Sox have 15 wins, which I didn't expect the White Sox to have 15 wins at this point.
You knew. I told you that would happen. I know they start out so awful, but baseball, at some point, you're going to win your 40, 50 games. There's a reason why the Mets, 62 Mets record, has lasted over 60 years. Because it's just not easy to lose that many games.
That's true.
And so,
it's a good way of looking at it, Chris.
Thank you, Scraby. I appreciate that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will, we're going to check a little traffic. And then we're going to get you ready a little more tonight's game. We have a Big Five.
We do.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yes.
Checking on what else is going on in the National Football League and the rest of sports on this Friday afternoon from Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. You have your finger up.
Oh, I was just going to say, we also have some Juan Soto audio. He talked to
the media.
Did
we get some of that?
Yes, we did.
Well, I can't wait to hear what he had to say upon arriving in San Diego. Stick around. We'll get to all of it on Gwynn and Chris. To start the segment, I realized I wasn't holding a microphone. Got to have that, or nobody can be able to hear me.
if we're going to talk about what...
I'm pretty smart, you know, when you think about it. Like, you know, you think of a guy like myself being a little older. You don't think I'm technologically savvy. But I figured out all by myself there that I needed to pick up the microphone.
That's really something.
Thank you.
That you should be proud of.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Everybody give him a round of applause. He knew
take whatever I can get
to his microphone.
Take whatever I can get. The applause you're hearing is at Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine out here in Coronado, where we are broadcasting Gwen and Chris live, and we appreciate them having us out. And Schroll and Schloss over there. And everybody's taking great care of us, and the fans that have come out to win a whole bunch of free stuff and Padre tickets. It's been a good day.
It's been a good day. Yeah.
Scraby's enjoying a gyro.
Oh, yes.
I've enjoyed hummus and...
everything.
Yeah, filet mignon kebabs, chicken kebabs, French... I've been eating like crazy.
Nonstop.
And you know who else is here? Scraby, I don't know if you saw, there's a lot of... There's quite a few luminaries in the crowd.
Luminaries?
Yeah, luminaries, including one Lori Ello.
Oh, wow.
And my dog, Kylie, even made the trip.
Yes, I did.
Everybody
see
go
Kylie.
Over, you can go over and say hi to my dog.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kylie, she's here.
I'm sure she loves that.
She loves that. She loves the people.
I should have brought Lucky. Although that would have really been stressful.
I don't know who would have kept an eye on Lucky.
That would have been real stressful.
Hey, don't forget now, Kylie used to be part of the intro to the show back in the COVID days, remember?
Yes, I do.
It used to be Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr.,
Kylie
Matt Scraby, and Kylie the dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that's her. She's here. So she made the trip today. All right, Juan Soto is here. Not here. But he's across the bay there at Petco Park.
Yes, he is.
And he met with the media this afternoon. And it's interesting because he, among other things, discussed what we were discussing earlier, which was how is he going to be received by the fans here in San Diego. And apparently he addressed that today. And here's what he said about how he expects to be received.
Juan, you said that great city, great fans. What are you expecting from the fans tonight when you go up to bat?
I don't know, man. I really don't know. It's kind of tough for me because they were right there every day for me. And I know I try my best. I play hard every day, but I didn't play as my best, you know. And that's one of the things I was like kind of like sad about it because I couldn't show them the really how great I can be. But it is what it is. I really feel good that I get the chance to give my 100% out there. But I don't know how they're going to react, you know. It's baseball. It's crazy. I'm expecting anything tonight.
Juan, you made the comment not too long ago that you learned a lot of lessons here that you think are going to help you in the future. What are some of those lessons, and how have you kind of implemented that this season?
It's a lot of teams. It's a lot of things. One of the first teams is you never know what's going to happen. Even if you have the best team in paper, you don't know how it's going to end it up at the end of the season. So you got to come out there and prove it and show it that you're really the best team. But there's a lot of teams. There's a lot of things around in the clubhouse, in the field, all over the place that I learned. And mainly about the business, too, about the business side of the baseball, too. I learned a lot of things. So for me, I just bring in all those stuff. I can't tell you every single one of them because there was a lot. But definitely, I learned a lot.
I'll tell you one thing. He's saying a lot of the nice things,
and
I appreciate him.
Say,
yeah, I know he did. He sounded really good. He said he doesn't know what to expect. I think anybody who listened to that probably going to be a little nicer to them than they may have planned to be. You know, I mean, he said, "I wish I could have played better in San Diego," and I have a feeling that that's going to be a little root of the reason why some people who didn't hear what he just said are going to throw a couple of boos his way tonight, because not only did he admittedly not, you know, play up to the level that he felt he was capable here, but he is playing up to that level now that he's in New York. So I think a lot of people are looking at that from San Diego and saying, hey, where was that? Yeah. We needed that. You know?
I get that. And
it's not his fault.
No. And but also, I appreciate athletes who are self-aware and athletes that are able to say that, because it's not easy to say, hey, I didn't play my best. He could have just completely ignored it if he wanted to, but he didn't, and he said things that completely disarmed me, and now I can't boo him anymore because
you said
knows.
Earlier you're going to cheer him.
Yeah, I'm going to cheer him and boo him, I guess.
You're going to cheer him and boo him.
No, well, it's he knows. He knows that when he was here, he didn't play his best, and what am I going to do,
but
boo him?
You know, the simple fact that Juan Soto seems to take any blame at all for what, you know, we perceive happened to the Padres last year is a little crazy when you consider that he was probably least responsible for what happened to the Padres last year in terms of his performance on the field. I mean, he had a really good year. He didn't have a Hall of Fame season like he's so far having in New York, but he performed, put up the kind of numbers that weren't too shabby when it was all said and done.
No, but
the perception of Juan Soto is going to be, I think we'll find out what the answer is when he comes to bat. That'll be the perception of Juan Soto tonight. We'll find out all together.
I think Juan Soto, they brought him in to be the guy and to carry them to a World Series. And when he didn't do that, that's why everybody kind of, gave him a hard time, because he came in here turning down a contract for $400-something million from the Nationals, saying I'm better than that and I'm going to wait. And then he wasn't that great. I can't even say he wasn't that great. He didn't perform up to Juan Soto expectations in San Diego.
Yeah, maybe he couldn't have. I mean, that's
what
another.
Do you mean?
Well, maybe there's just no way he could have unless he had a home run every time up. I mean,
true.
The expectations for Juan Soto when he got here. Try to take yourself back mentally. Picture the way you felt, because I know how I felt, the first day he got here and was ready for his first game. He ran out to right field the first time to warm up an hour before the game, and there were already 30,000 people in the stands, and they went crazy at the sight of Juan Soto. That game that night, which was against the Rockies on a Wednesday night, I think it was, or a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Was beyond sold out, jam-packed, crazy, to the masses. I remember having a ticket to the game. We got done with our show, and I, you know, broke tail to get down there, because it's not easy, you know, from where we are to beat traffic and get into the stadium and in my seat.
No.
Because I didn't want to miss anything. I was so excited.
And it's a good thing you got there, because you would have missed something.
I know. And, of course, in the first inning, Drury hit the grand slam. It's about as loud as I've ever heard it at Petco Park, and that includes, you know, the World Series. It was, well, the World Series hasn't been at Petco Park, but it's about as loud as I've ever heard it at Petco Park when that grand slam was hit. And the celebratory feel of that night was almost unexplainable unless you were there.
Yeah.
But I think people who were there know exactly what I'm talking about. When Soto got here, it was, yeah, championship is the limit. We're going. And so the fact that a year and a half went by and the Padres were largely mediocre while he was here, they honestly had one hot streak while he was here, and that was beating the Dodgers and the Mets in the playoffs. Other than that, I know, but I'm just saying, they largely were mediocre while he was here.
Yeah, they were.
And he gets the blame for that, whether it's right or wrong. That's what happens.
I think it's because it's easy to place blame on the person who's no longer here because it's just easier.
All right, let's put the blame on people that are here then, because if they can't hit left-handed pitching starting tonight, I'm blaming it on Manny and Fernando. How's that?
I don't think it's unfair to even blame them now. It's not unfair. Those are, like, I was saying on the Scraby Show one night, I'm all mad at Graham Pauly. Why am I mad at Graham Pauly?
I don't know.
I should be mad at Manny Machado and Fernando. I should be mad at Graham Pauly.
Right.
Like, those guys are the guys that are being paid to carry the team, and they're not right now.
They're not. Manny Machado, 196 at home. Fernando Tatis hitting 183 at Petco Park. Those are numbers that have to begin changing. Starting tonight, Yu Darvish puts his 25-inning scoreless streak on the line. Carlos Rodon, a lefty, dun-dun, pitching for the Yankees. More Gwynn and Chris, and a big five when we resume play from Spiro's and Coronado. Good job. Let's hear it for Scraby, giving away a bunch of prizes out there. Attaboy, Scrabe. It wasn't easy for him to leave his Euro during that break. Go get prizes away.
I feel so bad because they made me a new one to make sure it was hot when I ate it, and I haven't eaten it.
You're eating some of it. You're fine.
I have eaten some of it, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a great crowd out here. I know a lot of people are probably off getting over to the game, but we got a few people hanging out still at Spiro's. Still time for you to come by. We're going to give one more pair of Padres tickets away at the top of this hour. So if you still have about 20 minutes to get over here, get your name into the hopper, and you could win tickets to go see a Padres game this week against the Marlins. And I know it's the Yankees right now, and that sounds like a big deal, but we really need everybody out there for the Marlins, because the Marlins are bringing in not one, not two, but three straight left-handed pitchers to face us.
There's only one good one, though, right?
Huh?
There's only one
Lizardo?
Good one. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, was Austin Gomber good?
Was
Andrew Abbott good?
Andrew
pitched
Abbott
well.
Pitched well.
Yeah, they all pitched well. That's what they all have in common. Everybody who pitches against the Padres that's left-handed pitches well. I didn't even know that Rodon is having that great of a year for the Yankees.
Rodon's been and down ever since he got to the Yankees.
Yeah, but I'm still concerned about tonight. Yu Darvish will counter for the Padres. I wouldn't expect a whole lot of runs out at Petco Park tonight, which is exactly why it'll probably be a 9-7, 13-inning affair or something crazy like that. You never can quite tell. With the game of baseball, we're about ready for our big five, Scrib. You got it all lined up there?
I do.
Ready to go?
Yes, we got some good topics. We got some Hal Steinbrenner.
We got St. Nick back in studio, and he's going to hook us up with some traffic, I believe.
Traffic is not
working
out today. Where's
traffic been today?
We've had some technical issues back in studio.
It's
not me.
Maybe there's just been no traffic. It's a Friday afternoon. Everybody's just getting along on the roadways.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. I would not expect that to be the case either.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, then let's get into today's Big Five straight away.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I think before you get to the Big Five, we got to just share that what Nick just told us.
Nick,
I think that's hilarious.
Hop on the mic here because
Nick, that's funny. Nick is our guy in the studio today, pushing the ones and twos, while Scraby and I are out here at Spiro's in Coronado. This is Nick DiNucci, ladies and gentlemen.
Nick DiNucci.
Mr. DiNucci does a tremendous job back there for us, filling in today. But Nick just said, we asked him what's going on with the traffic. And he goes, I don't know. I think I played one from like 6 months ago by accident earlier. And so now I've just kind of forgotten about it because it's not working right.
Yeah.
So that means that somebody was driving along like in the 4 o'clock hour today. We said, let's go to traffic. And the report that Kelly Danik that you heard was from like last October. That's hilarious.
It's like when that plane landed on the freeway in Del Mar.
I believe
it was avoided all costs.
Yeah.
I think it was Vicky from like February of this year. So
it was February of this year.
I'm trying, but, you know.
49ers still had a chance when Vicky recorded.
So it's only 2 months. It's only 3 months old as opposed to 6 months old traffic.
Right. Not as bad.
That's funny, Nick. That's hilarious. All right. One of the little crazy things that can happen behind the scenes.
Nick
there.
Nick deserves a round of applause for today.
Yeah, Nick's all right, man.
He's
dealt doing
with a lot.
Well, he's dealt with you being...
Don't put this on me.
No, I'm not putting it on you. You've admittedly...
Nick is giving himself a round of applause right now.
He deserves it. He's had to put up with you and your mood that you were in earlier,
The
which was
much,
something.
Would you guys say the mood's better on my
end
now?
You couldn't go lower.
We're getting clapping now. All
you
right.
couldn't go any lower than you were earlier.
Everybody was hearing everything that I said in the break because I couldn't figure out why we were on the air.
None of which we can repeat on the air.
I asked anybody, is there anything I said that will get me fired? And everybody
said, all right. So. Why don't we get to the big five? Again, I think people tune in for sports talk, so let's try to provide some.
Jeez. Jeez. Whatever I say doesn't matter, anybody.
That's right.
All right, you can hit the number five.
Number five.
There you go. With the Yankees and Juan Soto in town, we have to talk about what Hal Steinbrenner said Wednesday at the owners' meetings. Currently, the biggest topic for the team is whether or not they could sign Juan Soto to a long-term deal. Steinbrenner said, quote, I'm going to be honest. Payrolls at the levels we're at right now are simply not sustainable for us financially. It wouldn't be sustainable for the vast majority of ownership groups, given the luxury tax we have to pay. End quote. Some see this situation as a similar situation to the Padres coming into this year, needing to reset the luxury tax. Others are asking questions about the future of Juan Soto in New York. Do you think this is the Yankees preparing to cut a bunch of players so that they can bring Juan Soto in?
Well, I think this is a bunch of negotiating talk is what it is. And that's, you know, I mean, to me, the Yankees, look, Juan Soto is a guy that commands and is going to command so much money to play the game of baseball, especially with Scott Boras as his agent, that really there's only a couple of teams that can even consider signing him. And despite what Hal Steinbrenner says, the Yankees are rich enough to be one of those teams, all right? Now, they are up against the luxury tax, and the luxury tax is expensive, but again, they can afford it. They have more money than any team in baseball. I think we did a countdown of the top franchises in all sports, what they're worth a few weeks ago or a month or two ago. And
yeah.
I don't know, the Yankees are worth about $500 gazillion. So they can even handle a Juan Soto contract. But this is negotiating, is what it is, right? I mean, Scott Boras is going to say, we want the tip-top amount. There's not going to be any discounts. You know, this is the top-paid player in baseball. Juan Soto deserves to be above that. And if we don't get that, we're not going to play here. And the Yankees are going to have to decide whether they want him or they want to let, I don't know, the Mets get him. Who else is going to get him?
We'll talk about Steve Cohen here in a little bit. But
yeah. I think it's just all negotiating. He's trying to make it sound like they're going to be poor. That's what any negotiator is going to do.
I get it, but the Yankees, like you just said, the Yankees can't claim poor. We know that they're not.
I know.
Poor.
That's my whole point. That's what I'm saying. So he's negotiating right now.
I
don't believe for a second that the Yankees can't afford Juan Soto. If the Padres can afford Manny Machado, the Yankees can afford Juan Soto, even though it's more.
I get it. Yeah, no, I get it. This is the problem with I'm not saying Juan Soto, but this is the problem with signing an incredible player who makes a lot of money, because it's going to impact the rest of your team, and it's going to impact who you can sign, who you can, what kind of bench players you could bring in, and the Yankees have no other choice but to re-sign or extend him, give him a contract, whatever you call it. They have no choice. He's already been endeared. He's already endeared to the Yankees fans. The Yankees fans are going to want him to come back. I think someone like Juan Soto, he's great, but it hurts the team, and I wouldn't do it.
Well, it doesn't hurt the Yankees as much as you might think.
Probably. You're Aaron right. Judge, I mean, they're great right now.
What's Aaron Judge making? What's Giancarlo Stanton making?
A lot.
What's Garrett Cole making?
A lot.
All right? I mean, the Yankees have money to burn, and Juan Soto, and more importantly than him, Scott Boras knows it, and they're going to hold out until the Yankees fork it over. And the Yankees can cry, you know.
Spilt milk
and how poor they are, you know, whole thing. But nobody's going to believe them.
You don't care.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for them.
All right, that's their problem. Let's go to the next.
Number four.
ESPN's Michael Wilbon took a hard stance the other day on something I think you will agree on, Chris. I actually played it last night. The audio is too long, but basically he and Tony Kornheiser were talking about Pirates' O'Neal Cruz and the press that he made for hitting two baseballs as hard as anyone has ever hit, one of them over 120 miles an hour. Michael Wilbon said exit velocity has the exit velocity stat showing up in the sports broadcast, quote, started the ruination of watching sports for me, end quote.
The ruination.
Because okay. He thinks we are too focused on how hard O'Neal Cruz hit the ball and not his batting average of 260. Okay. As you squirt a bunch of ketchup all over your plate.
Okay.
Now, I'm up first. Do you agree? Or
what did that have to do with anything, by the way?
It was just very strange that you're doing it during the question. Do you agree or disagree? And I said this last night. I like exit velocity. I do.
Okay.
It doesn't tell me everything, but a batting average doesn't tell me how well they're hitting the ball either. A batting average of 200 with an average exit velocity of 85 miles an hour is a lot better than a batting average of 300 with an exit velocity
All right.
of 60.
Okay.
So I don't think this is the ruination of baseball or sports watching. I think it's just something that some people aren't going to like.
You can take your BAPIP. You can take your ERA adjusted plus.
What about
you can
OPS
take
plus?
Your OMPHMDYX3 or whatever else is on an eye chart.
You have the Philippides.
Right. You can take all of it and toss it. But I kind of enjoy an exit velocity
really?
Now and again. I don't care too much about the launch angle. I don't care too much about all of that stuff. If the ball goes over the fence, I'm satisfied. But I kind of like exit velocity. I think that's added something. I love to know that a ball was hit 110 miles an hour. I think that's pretty interesting. And I would even, you know, kind of contend to Michael Wilbon. When I watch the NHL now, and they wind up from the blue line,
do they slap one,
they can immediately on the screen put how fast that slap shot is.
That's cool.
I think that's incredible. I love to know that that came in at 92 miles an hour and the goalie got a piece of it. I like to know when Jason Tatum pulls up from beyond the arc and as soon as he shoots his shot, they put up there 27 feet. I kind of like that. There are a lot of things that have come along that I'm not ready to accept yet. But I kind of like the exit velocity.
I did not.
So there you go.
Launch
angle, you can take that and leave it. It doesn't mean a thing to me.
Brandon said launch angle is a fun stat, too.
Why?
Brandon, why? Come on over here.
What's fun about it?
Oh, okay. Brandon doesn't want to come
He doesn't want to get in on that.
Okay.
What's fun about it
is that, like,
the ball either goes out of the ballpark or it doesn't. That's all I'm interested in.
A launch angle does tell you something.
What?
It tells you if they're getting air on the ball. It tells you how far it should be hit.
I can see whether they're getting air on the ball. I can see how high it goes. I don't need an angle thing to tell me.
I knew this was going to be
the exit velocity, although I can see it, I can't quantify it until somebody tells me that it was 95 miles an hour or whatever.
Does anyone know what VAR is? VAR. V-A-R. V-A-R. No one sees. Someone say
velocity after rebate.
Yes, that's it. All right, that's a fun stat, too.
Velocity
after rebate.
Yeah, I don't know. What is it?
Matthew says about launch angle, if they're getting on top or under the ball. That is true. If you hit a negative launch angle, that means you're hitting on top of the ball. If you're getting a positive
launch
angle,
and if you hit a negative launch angle, I see that it was a ground ball. I don't need the launch angle to tell me that it was negative.
Jeffrey says vibes above replacement, which is not a real stat.
Well, what is it?
It's not a real stat. Vibes above replacement.
No, VAR.
Vibes above replacement. Oh. They're making it up.
I got you. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Let's go to the next one.
Number three.
Just let me know after tonight's game. Text me with Manny's latest BAPIP.
Okay, I will.
All right.
What's the biggest issue the New York Mets have right now? Well, WFAN's Brandon Tierney is convinced billionaire owner Steve Cohen is the root of the problem. He dug into Cohen's shortcomings.
Wait, who's convinced?
Brandon Tierney of
okay.
WFAN.
Okay.
Franchise dropped to 6 games below 500 on Wednesday. Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata went after it. They said, the other day when Steve Cohen said the Mets are a playoff team, it tells me that he has no clue what he's watching. Steve Cohen is a problem. And that was the end quote. Cohen told SNY's Andy Martino on May 16th that he believes in the team and fully expects them to make the playoffs. Chris,
yeah.
Is Steve Cohen the Mets problem?
He is not the problem. He's really not the problem. I don't know what Brandon Tierney and this other guy are talking about. Steve Cohen is spending as much, if not more, money than anybody on the planet to try to help his team win. Now, I don't know if I 100% agreed with their managerial selection this year. And I can't even remember the guy's name, honestly. The new Mets manager. Do you remember who it is?
No.
Yeah. But
Mendoza?
I don't know. Maybe.
Carlos Mendoza?
He was from the Yankees, and now he's a Met guy. But here's the thing. Pete Alonso is still hitting about 220. Jeff McNeil's a former batting champ, but he's nowhere near that anymore. Starling Marte probably was an overspend. But you're going to blame it on the owner who hires the general manager to make decisions like signing. The people working for this guy are not, earning the kind of money that they're being paid. And that goes from the GM right down to the manager, right down to the performers on the field. The Mets are less than a sum of their parts, right? I mean, they've got a ton of players, but you put them all together, they don't amount to a hill of beans. That's your manager. That's your general manager's not doing a good job putting it together. Good job. Let's hear it for Scraby, giving away a bunch of prizes out there. Attaboy, Scrabe. It wasn't easy for him to leave his Euro during that break and go get prizes away.
I feel so bad because they made me a new one to make sure it was hot when I ate it, and I haven't eaten it.
You're eating some of it. You're fine.
I have eaten some of it, yeah.
Yeah, we've had a great crowd out here. I know a lot of people are probably off getting over to the game, but we got a few people hanging out still at Spiro's. Still time for you to come by. We're going to give one more pair of Padres tickets away at the top of this hour. So if you still have about 20 minutes to get over here, get your name into the hopper, and you could win tickets to go see a Padres game this week against the Marlins. And I know it's the Yankees right now, and that sounds like a big deal, but we really need everybody out there for the Marlins because the Marlins are bringing in not one, not two, but three straight left-handed pitchers to face us.
There's only one good one, though, right?
Huh?
There's only one
Lizardo?
Good one. Yeah,
but, I mean, was Austin Gomber good?
He pitched well.
Was Andrew Abbott good?
Andrew Abbott pitched well.
Yeah, they all pitched well.
They have, though.
That's what they all have in common. Everybody who pitches against the Padres that's left-handed pitches well. I didn't even know that Rodon is having that great of a year for the Yankees.
Rodon's been like up and down ever since he got to the Yankees.
Yeah, but I'm still concerned about tonight. Yu Darvish will counter for the Padres. I wouldn't expect a whole lot of runs out at Petco Park tonight, which is exactly why it'll probably be 9-7, 13-inning affair or something crazy like that. You never can quite tell. With the game of baseball, we're about ready for our Big Five, Scrib. You got it all lined up there?
I do.
Ready
I do.
To go?
Yes, we got some good topics. We got some Hal Steinbrenner.
We got St. Nick back in studio, and he's going to hook us up with some traffic, I believe.
Traffic is not
Where
working
has traffic
out today?
Been today?
We've had some technical issues
I
back
see.
In studio.
I see.
Not me.
Maybe there's just been no traffic. It's a Friday afternoon. Everybody's just getting along on the roadways.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. I would not expect that to be the case either.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, then let's get into today's Big Five straight away.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All All right, I think before you get to the big five, we got to just share that what Nick just told
us.
Nick, I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, Nick, you got to hop on the mic here because...
Nick, that's funny. Nick is our guy in the studio today pushing the ones and twos while Scraby and I are out here at Spiro's in Coronado. This is Nick DiNucci, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm Nick DiNucci.
Mr. DiNucci does a tremendous job back there for us filling in today. But Nick just said, we asked him what's going on with the traffic. And he goes, I don't know. I think I played one from like 6 months ago by accident earlier. And so now I've just kind of forgotten about it because it's not working right.
Yeah.
So that means that somebody was driving along like in the 4 o'clock hour today. We said, let's go to traffic. And the report that Kelly Danik that you heard was from like last October. That's hilarious.
It's like when that plane landed on the freeway in Del Mar.
I believe it was.
Avoid at all costs.
Yeah.
I think it was Vicky from like February of this year. So
it was February of this year.
I'm trying, okay, so
49ers still had a chance when Vicky recorded.
So it's only 2 months. It's only 3 months old as opposed to 6 months old traffic.
Right. Not as bad. That's
funny, Nick. That's hilarious. All right. One of the little crazy things that can happen behind the scenes
Nick
there.
Nick deserves a round of applause for today.
Yeah, Nick's all right, man. He's
dealt
doing
with a lot.
Well, he's dealt with you being...
Don't put this on me.
No, I'm not putting it on you. You've admittedly...
Nick is giving himself a round of applause right now.
He deserves it. He's had to put up with you and your mood that you were in earlier, something.
Would you guys say the mood's better on my
end
now?
You couldn't go lower.
Okay, we're getting clapping now. All
you
right.
Couldn't go any lower than you were earlier.
Everybody was hearing everything that I said in the break because I couldn't figure out why
none of which we can repeat on the air.
I asked anybody, is there anything I said that will get me fired? And everybody...
All right. So. Why don't we get to the big five? Again, I think people tune in for sports talk, so let's try to provide some.
Jeez. Whatever I say doesn't matter, anybody.
That's right.
All right. You can hit the number five.
Number five.
There you go. With the Yankees and Juan Soto in town, we have to talk about what Hal Steinbrenner said Wednesday at the owners' meetings. Currently, the biggest topic for the team is whether or not they could sign Juan Soto to a long-term deal. Steinbrenner said, quote, I'm going to be honest. Payrolls at the levels we're at right now are simply not sustainable for us financially. It wouldn't be sustainable for the vast majority of ownership groups, given the luxury tax we have to pay. End quote. Some see this situation as a similar situation to the Padres coming into this year, needing to reset the luxury tax. Others are asking questions about the future of Juan Soto in New York. Do you think this is the Yankees preparing to cut a bunch of players so that they can bring Juan Soto in?
Well, I think this is a bunch of negotiating talk is what it is. And that's, you know, I mean, to me, the Yankees, look, Juan Soto is a guy that commands and is going to command so much money to play the game of baseball, especially with Scott Boras as his agent, that really there's only a couple of teams that can even consider signing him. And despite what Hal Steinbrenner says, the Yankees are rich enough to be one of those teams. All right? Now, they are up against the luxury tax, and the luxury tax is expensive, but again, they can afford it. They have more money than any team in baseball. I think we did a countdown of the top franchises in all of sports, what they're worth a few weeks ago or a month or two ago. And
yeah.
I don't know, the Yankees are worth about $500 gazillion. So they can even handle a Juan Soto contract. But this is negotiating, is what it is, right? I mean, Scott Boras is going to say, we want the tip-top amount. There's not going to be any discounts. You know, this is the top-paid player in baseball. Juan Soto deserves to be above that. And if we don't get that, we're not going to play here. And the Yankees are going to have to decide whether they want him or they want to let, I don't know, the Mets get him. Who else is going to get him?
We'll talk about Steve Cohen here in a little bit. But...
Yeah. I think it's just all negotiating. He's trying to make it sound like they're going to be poor. That's what any negotiator is going to do.
I get it, but the Yankees, like you just said, the Yankees can't claim poor. We know that they're not.
I know.
Poor.
That's my whole point. That's what I'm saying. So he's negotiating right now.
I
don't believe for a second that the Yankees can't afford Juan Soto. If the Padres can afford Manny Machado, the Yankees can afford Juan Soto, even though it's more.
I get it. Yeah, no, I get it. This is the problem with I'm not saying Juan Soto, but this is the problem with signing an incredible player who makes a lot of money. because it's going to impact the rest of your team, and it's going to impact who you can sign, who you can, what kind of bench players you could bring in. And I the Yankees have no other choice but to re-sign or extend him, give him a contract, whatever you call it. They have no choice. He's already been endeared. He's already endeared to the Yankees fans. The Yankees fans are going to want him to come back. I think someone like Juan Soto, he's great, but it hurts the team, and I wouldn't do it.
Well, it doesn't hurt the Yankees as much as you might think.
Probably. You're
Aaron
right.
Judge,
I mean, they're great right now.
What's Aaron Judge making? What's Giancarlo Stanton making?
A lot.
What's Garrett Cole making?
A lot.
All right? I mean, the Yankees have money to burn, and Juan Soto, and more importantly than him, Scott Boras knows it, and they're going to hold out until the Yankees fork it over. And the Yankees can cry, you know.
Spilt milk
and how poor they are, you know, whole thing. But nobody's going to believe
care.
Them.
You don't care.
Nobody's going to feel sorry for them.
All right, that's their problem. Let's go to the next.
Number four.
ESPN's Michael Wilbon took a hard stance the other day on something I think you will agree on, Chris. I actually played it last night. The audio is too long, but basically he and Tony Kornheiser were talking about Pirates' O'Neill Cruz and the press that he made for hitting two baseballs as hard as anyone has ever hit, one of them over 120 miles an hour. Michael Wilbon said exit velocity has the exit velocity stat showing up in the sports broadcast, quote, started the ruination of watching sports for me, end quote.
The ruination.
Because okay. He thinks we are too focused on how hard O'Neill Cruz hit the ball and not his batting average of 260. Okay. As you squirt a bunch of ketchup all over your plate.
Okay.
Now, I'm up first. Do you agree? Or
what did that have to do with anything, by the way?
It was just very strange. So you're doing it during the question. Do you agree or disagree? And I said this last night. I like exit velocity. I do.
Okay.
It doesn't tell me everything, but a batting average doesn't tell me how well they're hitting the ball either. A batting average of 200 with an average exit velocity of 85 miles an hour is a lot better than a batting average of 300 with an exit velocity
All right.
of 60.
Okay.
So I don't think this is the ruination of baseball or sports watching. I think it's just something that some people aren't going to like.
You can take your BABIP. You can take your ERA adjusted plus.
What about
you
OPS
can take
plus?
Your OMPHMDYX3 or whatever else is on an eye chart.
You have the Philippides.
Right. You can take all of it and toss it. But I kind of enjoy an exit velocity
really?
Now and again. I don't care too much about the launch angle. I don't care too much about all of that stuff. If the ball goes over the fence, I'm satisfied. But I kind of like exit velocity. I think that's added something. I love to know that a ball was hit 110 miles an hour. I think that's pretty interesting. And I would even, you know, kind of contend to Michael Wilbon. When I watch the NHL now, and they wind up from the blue line,
do they slap one,
they can immediately on the screen put how fast that slap shot is.
That's cool.
I think that's incredible. I love to know that that came in at 92 miles an hour and the goalie got a piece of it. I like to know when Jason Tatum pulls up from beyond the arc and as soon as he shoots his shot, they put up there 27 feet. I kind of like that. There are a lot of things that have come along that I'm not ready to accept yet. But I kind of like the exit velocity.
I did not
So there you go.
That.
Launch angle, you can take that and leave it. It doesn't mean a thing to me.
Brandon said launch angle is a fun stat, too.
Why?
Brandon, why? Come on over here.
What's fun about
it? Oh, okay. Brandon doesn't want to come
He
on.
Doesn't want to get in on that.
Okay.
What's fun about it
is that, like...
The ball either goes out of the ballpark or it doesn't. That's all I'm interested in.
A launch angle does tell you something.
What?
It tells you if they're... getting air on the ball tells you how far it should be hit.
I can see whether they're getting air on the ball. I can see how high it goes. I don't need an angle thing to tell me.
I knew this was going to be
the exit velocity, although I can see it, I can't quantify it until somebody tells me that it was 95 miles an hour or whatever.
Does anyone know what VAR is? VAR, V-A-R. V-A-R. No one sees. Someone say
velocity after rebate.
Yes, that's it. All right, that's a fun stat, too.
I don't
velocity
know.
After rebate.
Yeah, I don't know. What is it?
Matthew says about launch angle, if they're getting on top or under the ball. That is true. If you hit a negative launch angle, that means you're hitting on top of the ball. If you're getting a positive
launch
angle,
and if you hit a negative launch angle, I see that it was a ground ball. I don't need the launch angle to tell me that it was negative.
Jeffrey says vibes above replacement, which is not a real stat. So,
well, what is it?
It's not a real stat. Vibes above replacement.
No, VAR.
Vibes above replacement. Oh. They're making it up.
I got you. Okay.
All right.
Fair enough.
Let's go to the next one.
Number three.
Just let me know after tonight's game. Text me with Manny's latest BAPIP.
Okay, I will.
All right.
What's the biggest issue the New York Mets have right now? Well, WFAN's Brandon Tierney is convinced billionaire owner Steve Cohen is the root of the problem. He dug into Cohen's shortcomings.
Wait, who's convinced?
Brandon Tierney of
okay.
WFAN.
Okay.
Franchise dropped to 6 games below 500 on Wednesday. Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata went after it. They said, the other day when Steve Cohen said the Mets are a playoff team, it tells me that he has no clue what he's watching. Steve Cohen is a problem. And that was the end quote. Cohen told SNY's Andy Martino on May 16th that he believes in the team and fully expects them to make the playoffs. Chris,
yeah.
Is Steve Cohen the Mets problem?
He is not the problem. He's really not the problem. I don't know what Brandon Tierney and this other guy are talking about. Steve Cohen is spending as much, if not more, money than anybody on the planet to try to help his team win. Now, I don't know if I 100% agreed with their managerial selection this year. And I can't even remember the guy's name, honestly. The new Mets manager. Do you remember who it is?
No.
Yeah. But
Mendoza?
I don't know. Maybe.
Carlos Mendoza?
He was from the Yankees, and now he's a Met guy. But here's the thing. Pete Alonso is still hitting about 220. Jeff McNeil's a former batting champ, but he's nowhere near that anymore. Starling Marte probably was an overspend. But you're going to blame it on the owner who hires the general manager to make decisions like signing. The people working for this guy are not, you know, earning the kind of money that they're being paid. And that goes from the GM right down to the manager, right down to the performers on the field. The Mets are less than a sum of their parts, right? I mean, they've got a ton of players, but you put them all together, they don't amount to a hill of beans. That's your manager. That's your general manager's not doing a good job putting it together. I'm not a fan of hating an owner unless that owner just doesn't try, a la my friend Dick in Colorado, okay?
Oh,
Dick Monfort.
Yes.
They don't try. So, to me, that is where I can blame an owner. Steve Cohen tries. Whether he spends all his money perfectly right, that's probably, you know, can be debated. But he really desperately wants to win. I'll take an owner who wants that.
You make some good points there.
I usually do.
I think, can we go back to that I knew it was Carlos Mendoza was the Mets manager?
Oh, Carlos Mendoza, yeah, so okay. Thank you.
Very good on my part.
Yeah.
I do think he's a problem.
What is the problem?
I have a ton of money. Yeah. What do we need? Okay, we need Francisco Lindor to a massive extension. Here you go.
Okay.
What else do we need?
So he should hire the people who make these suggestions to him, and he should tell them not to do it.
He's hiring the wrong people, too.
Okay.
He's bringing in people that aren't willing to tell him no.
So blame the general manager for doing a crappy job. I'm blaming the owner for not
bringing in the right people. He's ultimately at the top.
Okay.
He's the guy who it goes through.
Okay.
Chris is not going to agree with me.
I don't. That's okay. That's part of the world. Why the world goes around.
It is.
We don't have to agree on everything. I'm just saying, I think I'd like an owner that wants to win that badly, which he seems to want to do.
We have an owner, here at San Diego, Peter Seidler, who spent a ton of money, but he did it, I think, in the right way. I don't think Steve Cohen's doing it the right way.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't know why Chris is digging in on this so much.
I said, fair enough. What do you want me to do? I'm giving you credit. Good.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Number two.
Chicago Sky rookie forward Angel Reese deleted a social media post which referenced the league's new policy on charter flights as well as attendance after the Sky's 90-81 victory over the New York Liberty at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Reese, who had 13 points and 9 rebounds in the win, took to social media and tweeted, quote, and that's one getting a win in a packed arena, not just because of one player on our charter flight, end quote. Reese said in a now deleted post on X. I don't really care to break this down because I think it's good for them that they go back and forth like this, or at least Angel Reese goes at her. But I'm up first. Is the deletion of a tweet admission to people about being right about the intention of said tweet? Meaning,
well, what did she mean by the a single person on a chart? That Caitlin Clark?
That Caitlin
is she
Clark's
taking a shot at Caitlin Clark?
Yes. Caitlin Clark's team is awful, and she's the only reason they're selling out buildings.
Oh.
And they're selling out arenas.
Yeah.
Their team hasn't even got a win yet. I do believe that Angel Reese deleting this post tells
me that
it was right.
Is admitting that maybe Caitlin Clark is at least part of the reason why they're selling out buildings?
That, and she was taking a shot at Caitlin Clark.
Didn't need to take.
Exactly.
It was unnecessary. Exactly. Yeah, Angel Reese is polarizing one way or the other. That's a good thing for the WNBA. But to suggest that Caitlin Clark isn't a great thing for the WNBA, and her presence, singular presence, isn't one of the reasons why they're getting so many improvements, not only in the travel, but in the amount of eyeballs that are on the sport, the interest, the order with which they're playing the highlights on ESPN, right? It's all a byproduct, I think, of Caitlin Clark and what she's been able to do for women's basketball. And I think that to suggest otherwise is just not accurate.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's accurate. That's my dog.
I was going to say, is that Kylie?
She obviously agrees with me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Thanks, Kylie.
We don't have time for number one. It's okay. I was just going to ask you, because we're here at the Ferry Landing, what's your favorite public transportation?
In the world?
Yeah.
Skateboard. I don't know.
Chris has never skateboarded in his
life. Never? That's totally
great, great answer, by the way.
You did
great
not know?
Oh, Nick loves
Nick
your
liked that answer.
I
totally skateboarded
so
all
I love
over.
Your answer.
Skateboarded all over Beverly Hills as a youngster before I could drive.
Can we clip that, please? Skated all over Beverly Hills as a youngster.
I did. And I did not say youngsta.
Youngsta.
All right, another half hour. Gwen and Chris coming from Spiro's. Going to give away those final pair of Padre tickets and then back with more on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.